Okay, this morning, today, Ruth Day. Okay, are you ready? Shall we read together? Book of Ruth, chapter 1, whole verses, and Ruth chapter 1, from verse 1 to 22, and one of key verse 3:11. Okay, Ruth chapter 1, from verse 1 to 22 and 3:11. Let us read alternatively. Let me start verse 1. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land, and the man from Bethlehem in Judah, together with his wife and two sons, went to live for a while in the country of Moab. Now Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left with her two sons. Both Mahlon and Chilion also died, and Naomi was left without her two sons and her husband. With her two daughters-in-law, she left the place where she had been living and set out on the road that would take them back to the land of Judah. May the Lord grant that each of you will find rest in the home of another husband. Then she kissed them, and they wept aloud. But Naomi said, "Return home, my daughters. Why would you come with me? Am I going to have another more sons who could become your husbands?" Would you wait until they grow up? Would you remain unmarried for them? No, my daughters, it is more bitter for me than for you, because the Lord's hand has gone out against me. Look, said Naomi, your sister-in-law is going back to her people and her gods. Go back with her. This verse 16 is one of the key verses in this book. 17. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if anything but death separates you and me. So the two women went on until they came to Bethlehem. When they arrived in Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them, and the women exclaimed, "Can this be Naomi?" I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi? The Lord has afflicted me, and the Almighty has brought misfortune upon me. Okay, 3:11 together. And now my daughter, don't be afraid. Amen. May God bless all of us. This is the word of God written in human language so that we may understand. As we know, last Sunday, we studied Book of Judges. Today, we'll study the Book of Ruth. As we studied last Sunday, the Book of Judges is a book of judgment, judgment from God. The Book of Judges is a book of failure stories, as a cycle with a repetition of five steps, five stages: rebellion, retribution, repentance, and restoration and rest. We remember? Five repetition. If we say the book of Judges is disaster, the stories of Judges, disaster that came when the people of God turns away from him. But we can say the book of Ruth today, the book of Ruth is blessing. When the foreigner, Gentiles, came to true God and became a part of faithful people of God. Ruth, the book Ruth is set in the time of Judges, a time characterized as a period of very, very terrible days. For example, disaster and misfortune and disobedience, disunity, national disunity, and the general foreign oppression. But the book of Ruth reflects and reflects very short time, very temporary time of peace between Israel and Moab. The story of Ruth is set. The setting is the time of Judges. Then the book Ruth is named through just a person name, woman's name. We know her name Ruth. In this chapter, four chapters, Ruth has four chapters and covers only 12 years in all, and 10 years in the land of Moab, and 2 years in Bethlehem. The story is like this, as we read already in chapter 1. In the times of Judges, there was a famine in the land of Israel, especially in Bethlehem. What is the meaning of Bethlehem? Bethlehem is the house of bread. House of bread. House of food. Then in the house of food, no food. Then there was a man named Elimelech in Bethlehem. He moved to Moab to escape famine. No food. With his wife and two sons. His wife named Naomi and two sons Mahlon and Chilion. Then as soon as they arrived there, he died. He died soon. And his two sons married Moabite women, one's name Oprah, Orpah, and another name is Ruth. Then after they lived there about 10 years, also two sons died. Only three girls were left, three widows, mother-in-law and two daughters-in-law. Then one day, Naomi heard the news. The famine was over in her land. It means God had visited his people by providing food again. So Naomi decided to return to her home, Bethlehem. And at first, three girls started. Then on the way, Naomi said to two daughters-in-law, "Okay, it's enough. God bless you. Thank you very much for your kindness to your dead husband, also to me. Please return to your home. Return to your parents. Remain in your country." So they cried. They cried loudly. They wept loudly. And one daughter-in-law, Orpah, kissed her mother-in-law goodbye. Goodbye. But Ruth, another daughter-in-law, clung to her. Bible says, clung to her. And she said very, very strongly, we read already in verse 16, "Don't urge me to leave you. Don't urge me to turn away from you. Wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you stop, I'll stop. Wherever you stay and live, also I'll stay and live. Wherever you die, I'll die. I will bury next to you. Your people will be my people, your God, my God." The key word is, "Your God is my God." Her decision was too strong. Her decision was too strong for Naomi to stop her. So two women, two widows, arrived at Bethlehem. This is the story of chapter 1 we read. Then they arrived in Bethlehem. Then at that time, the harvest for barley just started. Yes, they had no money. They had no job. They had no money. They had to do something for survival, to survive. Naomi was old, Ruth young. So Ruth had responsibility to her mother-in-law. She had to do something. So one day, Ruth said to Naomi, "Okay, let me go out. Let me go to a field to glean, to pick up leftover grain." "Okay, you may go and glean some leftover grain." Then she happened to glean in a field that belonged to a man whose name was Boaz. This is a big turning point in this story, Boaz. Boaz was one close relative of Elimelech. At that time, the custom of harvest was like this. In huge harvest, in front line, men worker cut the grain in first line, and then servant girls go behind them to bind the grain into the sheaves. And then finally, in last line, the poor, the foreigner, the alien, the fatherless, widow are allowed to pick up the leftover grain. Naomi sent Ruth to pick up the grain, and Ruth works in that field of Boaz. Then sometime later, Boaz arrived in his field, and, "Hello, everybody, I bless you, God bless you." And he noticed a strange girl, and he asked the man in charge, "Who is that young woman? Who is a young girl?" And the man said, "She is a foreigner from Moab." The daughter-in-law of Naomi. Then Boaz called Ruth. He already heard about the news about Naomi and Ruth. I heard the good thing you have done to your mother-in-law. I know how you left your parents, your country, to live with different people you have never knew before. God bless you. You don't lead. You don't need to go to another field. Just walk here. Just glean here in my field until the harvest is finished. And Boaz gave her food and drink, maybe coffee, snack. And even he ordered his workers, do not touch her. Do not molest her. Do not rebuke her. Besides that, pull out some grains purposely from the bundles and leave behind you so that she pick up. And then she gathers, do you know, in today's Bible version says 10 kilometers. She got 10 kilometers grain. And she returned home, and Naomi asked, today, where did you walk? Where did you glean? In whose field did you walk? Oh, so much grain you gathered. And Ruth told Naomi everything of that day. And like this, Naomi and Ruth lived together, maybe happily, in better life, until the harvest season almost finished. This is the story of chapter 2. Then one day, Naomi said to Ruth, I must find a husband for you. It is good news or bad news to Ruth. I must find a husband for you. She was thinking Boaz for Ruth. You know, at the time in Israel, they had a Rebbetic marriage custom. Rebbetic. Have you heard Rebbetic? Rebbetic. Rebbetic. L-E-V-I-R-A-T. Rebbetic. A-T. E. You can look up English dictionary. Rebbetic. The literal meaning of Rebbetic is just husband's brother. In Israel, they had the custom of Rebbetic marriage. It means Rebbetic marriage is if a married man dies without son, then his nearest brother or relative marries the widow in order to continue the family name of the deceased brother. So for example, if many brothers of same father lived in the same place, same area, then one of the brothers dies without son, that widow was to not to marry stranger. And surviving brother was to take the widow as his wife. And then the firstborn son by her took the name of the deceased brother to maintain his name in his family register. But this system, this custom of Rebbetic marriage was not absolute obligation, but just act of love. So if the brother-in-law did not want to marry the widow, he was not forced to do so. And then in this case, the next relative or next brother had the right to do so. Shall we see, this is based in Deuteronomy 25, let me show you, Deuteronomy 25, chapter 25, verse 5 is very clear to show this custom of rivalric marriage. This is a kind of a family and inheritance custom. Let me read Deuteronomy 25, verse 5. If brothers are living together and one of them dies without a son, his widow must not marry outside the family. Her husband's brother shall take her and marry her and fulfill the duty of her brother-in-law to her. According to remembering this system and custom, Naomi said to Ruth, tonight can be biggest day for you, to Ruth. Okay, tonight, Boaz will be threshing his barley. You know, according to the custom of Israel, threshing day, you know, threshing day is like a harvest festival. They did it at night, drinking, eating, and even they sleep outside to keep their grain and corn for safety. And tonight, he will be threshing the barley. So, Ruth, today, put on perfume on your body, wash your body, and in your best clothes, and make yourself attractive like a bride. And then go to the place he is threshing. But do not let him know you are there. Just wait until he finishes eating and drinking and lie down to sleep. And then when he falls into sleep, approach him. Approach him and lift his cover, lie down at his feet. This is the custom. This is action of request for marriage at the time. Look good or strange? Anyway, Ruth did everything Naomi said to her. And then in the middle, Boaz was surprised to wake up to feel something at his feet. Who is it? What is it? And Ruth said, It's Ruth. You are close relative of Elimelech. You are kinsman redeemer. You are responsible for me. You are responsible to take care of me. Please marry me. Please marry me. Ruth said, please marry me. And Boaz praised Ruth. Oh, you are showing more family loyalty. You are so nice, girl. We read already in key verse, you are woman of noble character. Yes, I will do everything you ask. I'll do everything you ask. But wait, Boaz said, there is another closer kinsman than I am. Then first, I will ask him. Then if he wants, he will do it. But if he do not want, I will. And then he asked another kinsman, but he did not want. So finally, Boaz married Ruth. This is the story of book Ruth. Then Ruth became finally great grandmother of David, the greatest king in Israel history. And finally, Ruth became grandmother of Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, King of kings, Lord of lords. In Matthew chapter 1, records like this, a record of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, son of David, son of Abraham. And then in below line, we can see Boaz, father of Obed, whose mother was Ruth. Obed, the father of Jesse. Jesse, the father of King David. This is the story of book Ruth. Okay, from this story, what can we learn? What lesson can we learn? Of course, there are many, many lessons, spiritually, physically, in every area we can apply even today. But because of the limitation of time, let me say just a few points. First of all, I want to say about decision, the importance of decision, the importance of decision. Yes, we know, you know, our life in this world is a continuation of a decision, big or small. Even this morning, we decided to attend this service. Did you decide? You know, sometimes once a decision in our whole life, once a decision can make everything different. Also, sometimes we can know our decision reveals, shows who is really my king. Yes, we can say, Jesus is my Lord, Jesus is my king. But truly, my decision, my choice says, truly, really, who is the king to me? So there is many kinds of decision. There are big contrast between decision of Elimelech and Ruth. Let me show their decisions. Big contrast between Elimelech and Ruth. There's a good example of good decision and bad decision, wrong decision and right decision. Elimelech, yes, we know. Because of, we saw already first time, because of famine, Elimelech turned to Moab. In the house of food, please remember, in spiritual meaning, in house of food, in house of bread, no bread is not by accident, but as a result of their disobedience and rebellion against God. You know, in chapter 1, verse 6 says, Naomi heard that their Lord God had visited his people by providing food. It means no food is the discipline from God because of their disobedience and rebellion. So, in case of no bread, no food, he has to repent and turn to God, not to Moab. You know, Deuteronomy 23:3 says, no Moabites, no Ammonites, no any of their descendants may enter the assembly of the Lord, even down to the 10th generation. Where is Moab? What is Moab like at the time? Moab was a place full of idolatry and evil, immoral culture. Yes, if Elimelech goes to Moab to evangelize them as a missionary, okay, good. But to go to Moab just to live with them, to be mixed with them, is another obedience, rebellion against God. What is the meaning of Elimelech? His name's meaning. You have your name. Every name has meaning. And Elimelech means literally God is king. El means God. Melech, Melchizedek, from Melchizedek, means king. Elimelech means God is king. My God is king. God is my king. Yes, his name, his personal name says, God is my king. But his action, his decision, his determination reveals his king is himself. He's just his feeling. Yes, it is very easy to say, Jesus is my king with our lips. But our king, our Jesus, is never deceived, never cheated by our lip service. If Jesus is truly our King, we must put Jesus Christ in number one in every area of our life, in our decision, in our choice. Priority number one. And even his name says God is King. But his action, his decision, his choice says myself is King to me. This is the decision of Elimelech. As soon as he arrived there, he died soon. Also, his two sons died soon. But we don't know exactly why, how they died. But we do know his decision was wrong decision. And how about Ruth's decision? Shall we see Ruth's decision? Yes, we know. She was still young. She had opportunity, chance to go back to her family. If she wanted, she could marry with a young man of her country, Moabite. But her decision was to cling one miserable mother-in-law, Israelite mother-in-law. You know, Ruth left behind her. Ruth abandoned all things, vested interest. Ruth abandons home, brothers, sisters, mother, father, friends, her language, her culture, her food, her land. She abandons everything in order to gain one miserable Israelite mother-in-law who had nothing totally to help her. Now, from human's perspective, her decision seemed foolish, stupid. But from eternal perspective, her decision is best decision, wisest decision. You know, her final decision was, your God, my God. Shall we say it together? Your God, my God. She abandoned, she gave up everything she holded at the time to gain true God, really God. He abandons all things temporary to gain eternal God. And in God, there is everything she needed, not only spiritual, but also financial, material. Yes, today, our Lord, our King, Jesus Christ invited and challenged us, encouraged us. I tell you the truth. I tell you the truth. No one who has left home, brothers, sisters, mother, father, field, children, for me and for the gospel will fail to receive 100 times. Not only in this present age or with persecution, but in the age to come. Yes, if we decide, if we choose Jesus Christ by abandoning all things, in Jesus Christ there is everything we need spiritually, physically, financially, in every area. Paul, who knew this one, he confessed, whatever was to my profit, I consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything loss compared to the greatness, surpassing greatness of knowing Jesus Christ, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider all things rubbish. Why? In order that I gain Christ to be found in him. Yes, it is very clear in this story, Ruth represents church, us, Jesus' redeemed bride. And Boaz represents Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. You know, in this short book, the key word is kinsman redeemer. In this very short book with four chapters, this word, kinsman redeemer, or close relative, is repeated 13 times. like Ruth, once we were foreigners, we were aliens, we were Gentiles, very far away from God, without God in this world, totally hopeless, helpless, powerless. But our Redeemer, Jesus Christ, redeemed us in his kindness, in his grace, in his mercy, in his power. He is so rich. Boaz was a man of wealth and kindness and influence. Like this, our Redeemer, Jesus Christ, is a person of very rich, very wealth and kindness, grace, compassion, and influence. Yes, our Redeemer, Jesus, redeemed us. Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18, 19, you know, we know, it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty life of this world handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, a lamb without defect, without blemish. Christ redeemed us. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, from the curse of death, from the curse of Satan, by becoming cursed himself. Bible says everyone who is hung on a tree, cursed. Jesus was cursed on the cross to redeem us from the curse of condemnation of sin, death, and final penalty. Christ redeemed us. Christ redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles like us, so that by faith we may receive the promise of the Holy Spirit. Yes, as we know in chapter 4, when Naomi returned to Bethlehem, the neighbors, the old friends welcomed her and said, oh, is that Naomi? But Naomi said, no, don't call me Naomi. Call me Mara. Naomi means pleasant, happy, merryful, but Mara means bitter. Naomi said, don't call me Naomi, but call me Mara. When Naomi thought that God was her enemy who made her life bitter, empty, condemned her, sent her trouble and affliction, the fact was that God had a wonderful plan for Naomi so that she might experience and enjoy once again better restoration, better revival from survival. Like this, our God today has wonderful plan, wonderful design for us from survival. Are you surviving now? Not just a survival, but to revival. This is the plan of our God through our Redeemer King, Jesus Christ. Okay, let me close my sermon with his wonderful promise. Yes, we know that in all these things, I don't know in what circumstance you may be, but in whatever circumstance we may be in, God is doing something good. In all these things, God is working for the good of those who love him. Those who have been called according to his purpose. In whatever circumstance we may be in, God has wonderful plan for us. His plan for our future is wonderful life, wonderful future, eternal life, and abundance life in our Lord Jesus Christ. God is working. God is working for the good of those who love him, those who have been called according to his purpose and design. May God bless all of us with his wonderful promise and plan in Jesus' name. Shall we pray together? Oh, Father God, we know once we were Gentiles, totally Gentiles, aliens, without you, without God in this world, hopeless, powerless, meaningless, helpless. But we thank you for our Redeemer, Jesus Christ. He paid the ransom, his precious blood. We remember his word, our Redeemer. I did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom to redeem us from sin, from death, from the temptation and challenge of Satan in this world. Thank you for our Redeemer, Jesus Christ. Thank you for our King, Jesus Christ. Father, we say anytime, every time, Jesus is our King, our Redeemer with our lips. Please help us. Our decision, our feeling, our choice reveals Jesus is a true King, true Redeemer to us, not only with the lips, but also with our whole beings. Jesus is our Redeemer and King. All glory back to our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray together in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.